It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio. Joe Costello here with you. WFO, hopefully you're having a great week as we get closer and closer to the holiday. We're going to have a nice little NHRA drag racing themed discussion with NHRA's Alan Reinhardt, who is in the ready room, and we'll get ready to talk a little NHRA drag racing. A couple of different interesting storylines revolving around Pro Modified coming out, or rules change, which I'm kind of very interested in hearing Alan's opinion. It's going to be very interesting to see how that all goes down. Last week on the show, we had a great week. Craig Bourgeois and, of course, Don the Snake Prudhomme. I know a lot of you out there were checking out the Snake interview. Got a lot of positive feedback on Snake's interview here on the show. And I had a lot of people email, and I always, I don't give my email all the time, but you can email me joe@wforadio.com. And, your thoughts and feedback, get me on the social, et cetera, but got a lot of great feedback on Snake. Like, people were just super, of course it's Don the Snake, right? People were super stoked to see Snake and hear what he had to say about his career and the book. And from what I understand, the book is flying off the shelves. We've got it up in our WFO Radio store, and you can click on it if you need a last second gift idea. But it is going to be great this week. Some interesting stuff, Alan, today, and the rest of the week is kind of amorphous. I definitely want to talk to John DeBartolomeo from Drag Racing Edge magazine, talk about their final issue of 2020, see what he's got going on. And I want to do our WFO Radio holiday party / celebration. And so that will all be coming up on the show at some point in the very near future. If you're out there, you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, we encourage you to share, start a watch party, all that stuff. Subscribe, click the bell. We really appreciate it. First, let me tell you the people who make it possible for me to do this show and grind it out and fight it out with my electronic stuff. If you heard the Ignition show, you know that I've been battling the past like week or two. I don't know, solar flare, who knows what it is. But we're battling, and it's definitely a stalemate, us versus the cosmos. But I'll take it against the cosmos. But I do want to thank folks at Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. Got new episodes of Hidden Horsepower going to be going up over the next couple of weeks. And Hidden Horsepower now has a Facebook group. So if you would like to be in the know about all the latest, greatest in terms of ring seal and the podcasts and the elite engine builders around the world on Facebook, search up Hidden Horsepower. And we will be doing a live broadcast on their Facebook group tomorrow, and I will be putting out all kinds of information when it will be. But join the Hidden Horsepower group and learn about ring seal. TotalSeal.com. Really appreciate those guys, Matt Hartford, Lake Speed Jr., Keith Jones, myself. It's going to be great. TotalSeal.com. And if you got somebody who's building an engine, who is a friend, loved one, and they don't have piston rings yet, maybe you volunteer that as a Christmas gift. Get the good ones. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure. You know what? I really got a lot to say about this as a gift. Courses start at $399. I recently priced out a half day of fishing to go fishing, right? Like, how much is it to go fishing? For a half day, it's $500. That is $100 more than hanging out with Frank Hawley driving dragsters. Think about that. Like, wow, that number, $399. Courses start at $399 for the Dragster Adventure. A bargain at twice the price, folks. It's as simple as that when you relate it to something else, which I never have done. Chartering a guy who's going to take you to where the fish are, chartering a guy who's going to provide you a dragster and send you down the racetrack and help you do it and provide everything for you to drive a dragster. Unbelievable. Go to frankhawley.com. Really appreciate those guys. Samtech.edu. We will have the final Samtech Factory Stock podcast available this week. Aaron Stanfield, Brian Massengill, looking back at the season that was 2020 and all the accomplishments and things that went down. And Aaron winning his first pro stock race, but really focusing in on Factory Stock Showdown, past, present, and future, and what's going on. Brian Massengill, some news. It's going to be great. Get ready for that. Be sure to be subscribed to Factory Stock Podcast. And if you're a young person, relatively young, you're looking for a career, Man, I've learned so much about machining and engine building. The folks at samtech.edu, Judson and Linda, just putting together a great program down there in Houston, Texas. Excellent work. And also our friends at Nitro Fish. It's last second now, guys. Last second. Christmas gifts. What are you going to do? How about the Finish Line shirts for Jason Line's career? Such great articles up on NHRA.com about Jason Line and Jed Coughlin, and thinking about those two guys not being out there next year. It's like, what? You might as well get their shirt, right? Jason Line in particular at NitroFishRacing.com. Head on over there. Use the promo code WFO20. And one final thing. See, that wasn't bad. $10. Get yourself a WFO radio face covering, and I'll throw it in the mail. I'll put some WFO stickers in there, and you'll be ready to go. Will you get it before Christmas? I don't know. And I really would like to restrict that to folks that are in the continental United States, because as soon as I start shipping across a border, guess what? You know, they don't want me to do it, is what the deal is. So anyway, get yourself WFO radio face covering right at our site, WFOradio.com. For all of you who are using the site, check it out, man. The best way to subscribe, all of that. All right. That is all the business. And we're going to connect with Alan Reinhart just seconds away. There he is. Walks into the frame. That was perfect. Like, right on cue. You hit your mark. What's up, Alan? How are you?
I'm good. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood here in Arizona. So all is well, as far as I'm concerned. Just counting down to go racing. And Are we there yet?
No,
are we there yet?
We're not there yet. We're not even close. I was thinking about that the other day because people are, they post on the Facebook like, hey, when do we go race? It's too long now at this point. We're too far off. But I'm excited for it. And I, seeing all this news about, vaccines and healthcare workers, and it feels like this positive momentum. And I want to just take that and drive it right through 2021, leading to us at some point with packed grandstands and me giving a walking tour and all of that. Like, that's what I'm thinking about.
Man, I sure hope so. We're 80 something days away from kicking things off down in Florida next year. And I think, obviously we have to wait and see. It's, so much stuff is still up in the air, but the vaccine being out there and starting to be distributed, said the professional announcer clearly, that is a good thing. And, I'm just trying to stay positive. I really think that, obviously 2020 kicked a lot of people right in the chops. And
yes.
I was thinking about it the other day, and, don't know what 2021 is going to bring, but I'm ready for it. Last year I legitimately wasn't ready for it. When in March, it's like, okay, go home and twiddle your thumbs for a while. And this year I'm just kind of figuring, hey, I've got a plan. I know what could happen, what might happen, what I want to happen. So, it's up to me whether I'm going to have a good year, I'm going to have a bad year. So I'm ready for it. Last year I wasn't ready for it. This year I am.
Well, that's great. Yeah, prepare for the worst, hope for the best, improvise, adapt, overcome. There's all kinds of different ways to say it. In my National Dragster column that is out or about to be out, the digital version is out. That's exactly it. Like, what did we learn this year? We learned that we can handle some really tough, complicated, difficult, challenging times. That's what we learned about ourselves. And I'm not saying I want the world to test us again. Like, you handled that, huh? Let's see if you can handle this. But I don't think that's going to be what happens. I think we're going to slowly come out of it and get back to a place where we're going to be appreciative of what we've got. And it's just, it was a very tough and challenging year, but we made it through. We learned a lot. I think the bonds of friendship among, a lot of my core people became stronger. And I'm just excited to take the lessons and put them in the back of my mind and start living new life. It's going to be great. Now, we've got a lot of people out there on Facebook and on YouTube. Like, how about this? I don't want to call him a blast from the past, but Mr. Tommy Noodles wants to just say hi to you. Remember Tommy Noodles from the XM days? My co-host, sidekick, kicker, producer. Tommy Noodles did it all. He's just out there watching, saying, what's up to you, Alan?
Yeah, that is going back in time. Good to see you, Tommy. Nice hearing from you. I hope things are well in your world.
Yeah, Tommy is doing actually very well. You know, he's obviously he's got a couple not so little boys anymore. They're grown men. They better watch out or he'll they'll take him out. And Tommy's doing great. David out there saying what's up and good afternoon, Joe and Alan. Scott says he loved the Ignition show. Thank you very much for that, Scott. We had a lot of fun. That's it. High priority. Have fun. Randy saying what's up. This gentleman saying he did the dragster class at Frank Hawley and he really wants to go again. You were in the other room. I don't know if you heard it, but recently I priced out like a half day of fishing.
Yeah, fishing. I heard.
Fishing. And I just couldn't help but do the math, right? Like, wait a second. All right, I love fishing. Fishing is great. But driving a dragster is just so much more unique. Like, anyone could go fishing. To drive a dragster, and the idea that Frank and they've got it, it's comparable,
I'm listening. Keep talking.
Comparable and actually less expensive than going fishing. I think that's just tremendous. So trying to find them out there. Look, we got cylinder heads.
Well, I think that's good, too. And I also think, you know, the fact that you get to, you know, if you go to Frank Hawley's, you know you're going to drive a dragster. You know you're going to learn something. You know you're going to have a great experience. And, you know, I realize the guys that do the commercial fishing and do this stuff are really good at what they do. I don't believe they can guarantee you that, you know, you're going to come back with a shark or with a whatever you're going, you know, a guppy. You know, you're going to go out there and cross your fingers, and obviously they're going to do the best that they can. I'm sorry. The reason I did that is if I'm looking at you like all lit up, and I'm looking at me like all not lit up, and I got this really fancy new camera light stand thing that I just want to play with. Oh,
there it is. What'd you just do? That's fantastic. It's like you're on television. Yeah. Oh, now you don't like that.
Yeah. You like that?
Well, I don't know. Let's ask. I think that's pretty right there. I think that one's good.
Which one?
You want to be warm, you know, it wants to be a warm.
Stop. Tell me when to stop.
There.
I went one too far?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at this. Merry Christmas. That's I like it. You definitely lit up. Look at this. You got we're evolved.
Santa's on brought this with a card from Joe that said, hey, thank you for everything. It's time that you like look a little bit more professional instead of my old phone holder.
Where is it?
And I think it's locking the door right now.
My old
phone holder was literally a pair of vice grips, and I would set the phone and prop it up, put vice grips on it, and that was okay. But now I got like the tripod, I got the lights, I got, you know, the mood lighting. There's a lot I could do with everything.
There is you had to make it weird.
Anyway, thank you. I greatly, greatly appreciate the gift, and it will get hours of use, I promise you.
Well, good. And thank you for all you do and have done. And this transition to like, hey, we're going to do everything on video here in the WFO studios. We had to go through the same thing. Like, oh my gosh, you know, this is where it's going. And this is what people want to see. And they want to see our faces and we can connect on Facebook. And this was all pandemic. And seeing what you do with Brian on NHRA.com doing nitrous oxide the other day, by the way, hopefully everybody is seeing it or going to see it. This is kind of a mandatory thing. And I'm also noticing that many of the racers need something like this too. Now, I can't send all of them one, but everybody that is in racing should plan on having like a little corner of their office with something like this, a little ring light and a tripod, and have that be their location because it makes everything better.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Anyway, thank you. I very much appreciate the gift. I was looking at you and you look all professionally lit and I looked like that,
yep.
And I thought, geez, I got shadows, and, you know, my mom would be so disappointed that people can't see my smiling face as well. Now I forgot which one, that one, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it all looks a big improvement over everything. So anyway,
I interrupted, and what you were saying about, you know, if you go to Frank Hawley's, you guarantee you're going to get in a drag show. You guarantee you're going to make a couple of runs. You guarantee you're going to learn something. You're going to have some fun. I don't think the fisherman guy can guarantee you're going to catch a fish. Maybe they can. But, you know, I have the same discussion with people all the time when they say, you know, hey, you know, the races are in town this week coming up. Whoa, you know, it's too expensive. Oh, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to go to the baseball game. Exactly. Wait a minute, what? You're going to go, and I love baseball. I'm not bagging on baseball. But you're going to go watch a 3-hour baseball game and pay $50 or $60 plus buy a hot dog, plus buy a beer, plus when you can go to a race that's all day long if you want to spend all day there. For about the same $50 or $60. And if you want to talk about an NFL game, and again, I love NFL. I'm not bagging on them. I'm just saying that I think we're a pretty good bargain compared to other sports. you know, you go to an NFL game, I don't know that you can get in some stadiums for less than $100, right?
No.
And, you know, you go in and you sit down and the game's over in 3 hours. Do you get to go in the locker room? Do you get to go meet the players? Do you go get – you do it NHRA. And so, you know, everybody says, oh, those tickets are too expensive. I said, compare them to any other major league sport and then compare the access. And I agree with you. I think Frank Holley's – you know, it's an incredible experience. When I went through the school, whatever it's been now, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, the driving the dragster part was just a little part of what you learn. You know, from the mental side of the game, from the physical side of the game. And, yeah, I know drag racing is not as physical as playing rugby. But if you want to go out there and you want to be successful and you want to do well, then things like muscle memory and getting into a rhythm and getting all of that stuff. And Frank teaches and talks about a lot of that stuff. It's definitely, absolutely, positively worth the money to go out there and try it.
Hanging out with Frank Holley all day. My goodness. All right. Before I go any further, this gentleman, Ralph, says he still hasn't gotten. I ordered mine 4 weeks ago. Ralph, you're talking about WFO radio face covering. Email me, joe@wforadio.com, because I did not get an order from a guy with a last name like you have. And I notice last names that have vowels at the end. And so please reach out to me. Sammy Eubanks, the voice is out there. He's in Idaho. What's up, Sammy? And very, very cool. And let's see, Jeff is out there in Denver. Oh my gosh, we are overloaded. Jeff Foster is out there. Hey guys, still have 3 schedules starting next year, all pending when I get to reopen. That is awesome. 86 days to Gainesville qualifying, March meet. Everybody is very fired up, sweatshirt weather. It is all good. Let's talk about the big rules change in Pro Modified so we can start talking some actual drag racing, and then people will put their questions up in the comments section and, you know, share the show and tell their friends. But no more automated shifting in Pro Modified. This has kind of been a discussion point for a couple of years. There have been several incidents which, from my side of the world, you know, have been anecdotally connected to automated shifting, like tire shake happening, and then a shift happens, and the car is, you know, turned into the wall or towards the center line, etc. So I, on the surface, love the idea of drivers having to do more. I'm not the guy doing it, going 570s at 250, but I still like the idea of drivers having to do more. What about you?
I like it deep down, not just on the surface. Anything that makes the driver a bigger part of the equation, I'm all for. And, you know, as you mentioned, I think that there's going to be some times, you know, obviously you're going to find out who can drive and who can't, because now the drivers have got more to do, you know, and I am not a huge fan of automated race cars. I want the driver to have a lot of input. And I think the guys that are good are going to find out. And even the guys that maybe need to get some practice are going to find out that it really can be a huge advantage. You know, you mentioned you get into tire shake, you get into something, the thing shifts, and now the car's out of control. You know, if you talk to an alcohol funny car driver or a pro stock driver, they will tell you a number of times that, you know, hey, it started to rattle, I short shifted it, or maybe I ran it a long way through the gear to get the thing to calm down before I hit it. There's actually an adjustment that you can make with the seat of your pants that may save some of those runs where the automated shifter is going to get you in trouble. Now, it is something else that you got to concentrate on. It's something else that you got to do, but I'm good for that. Now, if you remember when Pro Stock a number of years ago, when they almost all had the air shifters, and it was either a matter of, you know, a button where every time you had to make a shift, the driver would just go ka-ching, 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 or some of the drivers had like a series of buttons, and when they're good on the racetrack, it'd be pop, 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 pop to make the gear changes. But that was all they were doing, was pushing buttons. And then when there was the rumor of some of the guys that had those systems that were automated, so, you know, yeah, you got all the buttons in the car, but it was possible to have a timer or have an RPM chip actually make the shift. And NHRA went, done. Put a shifter back in the car. So the drivers all had to actually manually grab the handle and push it back and forth. And every driver I spoke to loved it because, A, it lets them show off a little bit more of their skill as a driver. And B, it takes out the possibility that somebody else is doing it automated, which is against the rules. And so anyway, I'm all for it. And I'm sure in the Pro Mod ranks, it's going to be a button probably on the steering wheel. You know, I'm picturing it kind of like an alcohol funny car. Most of those are a button on the steering wheel. at second gear, third gear. You know, it may be something a little different than that. It may be just that they've got a shift handle that's got a button off to the side. But anything that makes the driver a bigger part of the equation, I'm in.
I agree. And wrapped in safety, and if an alcohol funny car guy can do it in those things, very active, wild cars also. Yes, they don't have a suspension, but I think it's worth doing. It's definitely a great storyline. And from what I've read, I know Drag Illustrated has got a story with some driver reaction. Most of the drivers are into it, like Stevie Fast, champ, back-to-back, loves it. And to me, that's Ricky, seems on the margins maybe a little bit. But like you said, we're going to find out another layer about these drivers getting in a car. Erica is a great example because she drove both, and very recently pro stock, where she's shifting and doing a lot. And she said, like, if everything going straight, you just going into hyperspace, just accelerating really crazy, that she loves the pro stock car because you're doing so much more. To me, now for pro mod fans, you got another layer. We're going to find out who the real drivers are, and that's going to be good.
I'm a little surprised that Ricky isn't, like, I would think Ricky would be all in 100% for it, because a guy that's got his level of experience and his level of skill, I would think you'd want to make it as difficult as you possibly could to drive those cars.
Yes.
Because guys like him are then going to separate themselves from the pack. Just the level of ability that he has driving everything that he's driven over the years and the amount of experience that he has, I would think that a guy like him would think that I would think he'd be all in on it. I'm a little surprised to hear that he's not.
Well, you know, maybe just hedging a little bit. And speaking of Ricky, going to go with Elite Motorsports and Justin Elks, and they're going to have a Pro Charger. And so over the past few years, Ricky has kind of been like flirting with various combinations, the turbo car and all of that. And he felt like the nitrous car is, you know, to the end of its evolution, et cetera. Although we've seen some really good nitrous runs recently. But to me, it's exciting, though. I always wonder, though, like Ricky has got a very unique workflow, personality, and all of a sudden you start mixing. Is the chemistry going to work? Just something else for us to look forward to.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. You know, Ricky has always been a very hands-on guy. You know, he's the driver, he's the tuner, he's the guy that makes the decisions, and he's the guy, if it fails, he's the guy to blame, and if it goes well, he's the guy to give the credit to. And that's just kind of always been his style. He's never been really good at handing over the reins or handing over control of a big portion of the program to somebody else. So how well he and Justin will work, I guess time will tell. You know, I don't think there's any doubt that Ricky can drive anything you put him. If it's got doors on it and it's got suspension, you know, give Ricky the keys and just get out of the damn way. He can drive. But whether he'll be able to work with and, you know, kind of just let the other guys do what they need to do, I think that's going to be the difficult part for him, just because he's so hands-on. And it's not slam, it's just that he is so hands-on, it's difficult for him to relinquish control of something like that.
Exactly. All right, we got a question from Mike Mayer, a.k.a. Race Guitar, and let's put it out there. He wants to know, how come blown alcohol and A-fuel dragsters run such different wings? For instance, look at Cowie compared to Shields, and the A-fuel cars run massive wings, and the alcohol cars run less massive wings. What's up with that?
A-fuel car needs a downforce, and a blown alcohol car just needs stability. If you look at the difference between how they make power and where they accelerate, a blown alcohol car basically is accelerating on a fairly linear rate most of the way down the racetrack. It doesn't need a lot of downforce because the way the power is applied with a three-speed transmission, you know, it's coming in at a fairly even rate. The wing is just there to give it some stability down the racetrack, where an A-fuel car, much like a top-fuel car, makes a ton of torque, and they are trying to put a lot of power down to the ground in the early part of the run, and they need a whole lot more downforce from, say, 200 feet or 150 feet down to the eighth mile, and so they have to have that bigger wing. You know, if you look at speed number to the eighth mile, the A-fuel car is considerably faster in that part of the racetrack because of the way they apply power to the track. So the A-fuel car is relying on a lot of downforce in the early part of the track, and since the top alcohol car doesn't need that, it doesn't have that have a big wing. It just has enough wing to give it stability in the top end.
Exactly. Our friend Sammy Eubanks out there, the voice, asking if we've had, you know, Dom on yet, Dominic Lagana, and the answer is no, but I have communicated with Dom about this, and as you can imagine, Dom is getting reacclimated to being at home and all of that stuff. And the quote was definitely when the dust clears. And so what I kind of thought about was, do I want to like stack December before the holidays with like big shows and personalities, or do I want to just get to the holidays and then stack January and February with big stars and big interviews? And so I decided to do that. So we'll hopefully have Dominic on after the turn of the year and Force, whatever he's going to do, and all those guys. We did have Snake. So we did have a big personality. Snake was great, man. Everybody loved him.
Yeah, I haven't listened to that yet. I've got it downloaded. I just haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. I actually talked to John Forrest over the weekend. Just called him to say, hey, just called to check in and see what's happening. And, you know, he's doing some grandkid time and putting some things in place. And he's like everybody else, you know, wondering exactly what the plan is going to be. But he does have, you know, his cars are ready to go. His parts inventory is ready to go. He's just waiting to see kind of when we're going to start, where we're going to start. But I think he didn't say a word for word, but I really got the feeling that he will absolutely positively be back on track this year, as he said he would last year. It's just a matter of waiting until we hear exactly, you know, what's going to happen, what the schedule is going to be like, what we're going to need to do to make this all work.
Flying airbrush down there, working on helmets for Coletta here in Florida. Question for Alan: what's his favorite sportsman class? And he's guessing stock eliminator.
All of them. It's so hard for me to pick. I love the cars in stock and super stock because they're real cars, and I'm a real car guy. I also love competition eliminator. You know, you look at what some of the guys do in there and the performance and what they're able to wring out of some of those crazy motors is nuts. You know, you look at the .90 classes, and even though the technology in the cars might not be as high as it is in comp, and I apologize, comp and super comp guys, I'm sure they're all going to write to me, but the wow factor of the cars isn't quite what it is in stock and super stock. But the level of skill it takes to drive those things and to win in those categories is holy smokes off the charts. Because they have so many driver aids between delay boxes and between throttle stops and weather stations and all this stuff, in order to win in that category, you have got to have a lot of ability behind the wheel. It's fun to me. It's fun calling races that are 2,000s, 3,000s. It's fun calling races when a guy's going 128 miles an hour, another guy's going 180 miles an hour. And the top dragster and top sportsmen are fun because they're fast. You know, it's fun to get out there and watch. I don't have a favorite. I hope that, you know, when people are listening to me, whether it's on the live stream or at the racetrack, I don't ever want somebody to listen to me and go, well, the announcer doesn't give a crap about these cars, because I try to get excited for all of them. I love it all. And, well, I'm not going to pick a favorite.
We've been getting a question over the past couple of shows, something like, will NHRA add a new category, something like that. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, new category, like how many different categories? We've got a lot of different machines that race at the NHRA, from Mickey Thompson Top Fuel Harley and Pro Stock Motorcycle to Top Sportsman, Top Dragster, Pro Mod, Nitro Cars, Pro Stocker, Stock Eliminator, Super Street at certain national events. Like, we have such a great variety. No, we do not have Radial versus the World, which is unique and new. It's a new category. It's only eighth mile and requires totally different track prep. But man, if you can't get excited about one or two or five or seven of these categories, and of course, I'm like Alan, I have something that I love and appreciate about every one of them, including and especially Super Comp 890 NX. People are like, oh, I don't get it. I love it because I know what's going on there, and the effort and the people who love it too.
Yeah, if you go down, you know, when you're cruising the pits, just go down into the Super Gas and Super Comp pits and chit-chat with some of the guys. You know, have them explain to you what they're trying to do, what they're attempting to accomplish, and listening to the strategy stuff is amazing. You know, and I know you've spent a lot of time with Bo and I just completely blanked out.
Randy Lynn?
Texas Stock Eliminator.
Oh, my gosh. Former world champion, Austin?
Austin. I kept wanting to say Aaron. I knew that was wrong. Austin Williams. But you've spent time, and it's so funny when they're talking to those guys. It's like, oh, what's that? Well, you know, I got to run Joe this round. And, you know, Joe's been holding three, and he always does this, and this is his strategy, and he knows what I'm going to do. So this time, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to set up to be dead on. I'm going to hit the tree. I'm not dumping. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to make him. Or I'm planning to get there. I'm going to be fast. I'm going to catch him early. I'm going to play, because you've got to try to play a little strategy to get the other guys. And once you understand what they're trying to go through, Austin Williams, I apologize for almost calling you Aaron. Once you understand the strategy, how much thought, how much planning, and how much goes into legitimately try to win these races, it's amazing. I remember, you know, Dan Fletcher, however many years ago, he's racing David Rampey in the final round at Gainesville. And Dan ended up winning that one. And so I'm talking to him in the winner's circle, and I'm like, man, that's final. He goes, oh, because that's the toughest round. And I, yeah, well, you know, Rampey's tough. He goes, oh, it had nothing to do with that. He said, what it had to do is, I know what David's doing, right? I mean, I've raced him. I've watched him. David knows what I'm doing. So if we go down there and we both do our normal thing, it's a coin flip at best, right? I mean, they're both great. So how do I give myself an advantage? And he said, so I decided to do something that I never do, dial honest, and just hold the gas down. That's it. Just dial honest and hold the gas down. Let him decide. Let him make the mistake, because there's no way he's going to be expecting me to do this. I said, okay, makes sense. And he says, yeah, but the problem is, because David is such a stat guy, you know, if Dan's been dialed, whatever the number is, right? Dan's been dialed 992 all week because he's holding a little bit. He says, I can't go up there and dial 988 because he'll go, up. Oh, I know what he's doing.
Right.
And he said, so he's pitted over there. So I'm trying to sneak enough weight in the car that it'll slow down without him seeing me.
Yes.
Because if he sees me piling weight in, same thing. You know, I know what he's doing. And he says, you go through all this stuff. So he says, you know, then I decided to do this and I shifted it 100 early or whatever the deal was. And he said, I get down there at 1,100 feet and it's the toughest thing in the world not to look. Because he said, if I look, I go, he's not getting here. I'm going to want the throttle. I'm going to do. And I know. And he said, the fact that I just had to drive the race like this and hope for the best. He said, the most difficult race he ever ran. He ended up winning it. But the fact that the guys that go through that stuff, and it's really interesting to me if you watch and you pay attention, and obviously you can't keep track of all 600 cars out there, but you know, you and I have sat up in the tower, right? How many times you sit up there and it's like, okay, here comes Joe Costello. He's dialed on a 942. And I'm going, Joe hadn't even dialed 950 all week. And I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
Okay, what's he doing? I mean, there's something going on here. And, you know, obviously he's got a plan that he's trying to do something to throw the other guy out of his routine. But it's just so interesting if you know all the strategies, and that's worth going down in the pits and talking to guys.
Absolutely. You got to have moves you can make, cards you can play, things to do, and response strategy. Me and a buddy of mine, Corey Kramer, if Corey might be out there, he went bracket racing for, got his car together, and man, the car's deadly. And so we're out there, and me with my, you know, having been out, rusty old school kind of mentality with him, and knowing that he hadn't raced in a while, like we're playing it honest, right? Playing it honest, and ran into a kid who, killing the tree, holding three. Well, my buddy is like 10 dead on, and he's out of there because he was just playing the basic game. Whereas this guy knew that he was doing that, was able to cut a slightly better light and get in on him, and that's it. He loses. So you have to develop moves. And we did that Drive the Stripe show a couple of times last year, and that was something we were actually looking forward to building upon this year, where Austin and Bo and Randy Lynn, they're talking about all the different things that are happening. Spot drop. All right, like this time, I'm going to get to the mile per hour cone and just roll. I know that's 200, so I'll dial up. All of these different things are happening. It's a chess match at 150 miles per hour, and everyone is preparing for other things. How many times do you see a run where both drivers are trying to give the other one the stripe, and whoever gets there first is the loser? Like, to me,
yeah,
that
it's fun stuff to watch. It's also fun when you watch the guys that are, you know, the guys that are normally big mile an hour like that, you know, whether you're talking about Ray Miller the third, whether you're talking about Stennett, where you think, you know, Tommy Salva usually runs pretty good speeds. And you watch the guy and he goes out there and goes, ooh, 891 at 178 miles an hour. All right. Comes by the next run. 8906 at 152.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know it because you watch the cars go down the racetrack, but the guy in the other lane is trying to figure out what's this guy doing. And, you know, if the guy's a mile out in front, he goes, okay, well, feed him a stripe, he's going to break out. And then he throws the anchor out, goes 152. Or the guy's a mile back. So, you know, you start pedaling, you start, there ain't no way he's going to catch me. There's no, whoop. Where the hell did he come from? And when you know your opponents, then you've got to try to figure out something that they're not expecting. It's as simple as that. I mean, it's I don't know if it's, you know, almost like calling plays in the NFL, right? If it's third and long, okay, we know what he's going to do. Okay, well, now either you need to do what he knows and still do it good enough to get away with it, or come up with something that he's not expecting and try to get away with it. And the strategy that plays into that stuff, it's just fascinating, you know, as opposed to if you're racing funny cars, right? You go up there, you look at the track, you go, okay, I think we can run 386. We're going to run 386. I don't think he can run 386. That's the strategy. Just go up there and go.
Right.
But when you're racing in one of the dot 90 categories, when you're racing in something like that, there's so much more that plays into it. And that's what makes it fun. And that's what makes it interesting, at least to me.
I think Chris Garrett's in a perfect example of getting creative, doing different things. And those the throttle stop timing mechanisms, there are ratios, like there's the basic way you do it, but there's more than one way to skin a cat. And so you go up one time. Your NFL reference is perfect. How many times do you see a player come in and he's got talent right away? He's like, man, this guy's looking good. And then a week later, the defenses are like, oh, all right, well, he does that, so we're going to do this. And he's got to reevaluate everything. You got to have multiple looks to what you're going to do. Otherwise, you might get lucky or might have a good weekend, but you're not going to have five good weekends. That's not going to happen. And, you know, Jerron is out there. He says, Indy Supercomp final, LOL. Which, you know, in case you don't remember, I've got the ET slip. There it is. Poor Jerron. Sorry, Jerron. That's tough stuff. Troy Williams Jr., a thou on the tree, and Jerron breaking out by a thou, taking 038. Ouch. That will live in infamy.
I don't think he was the first one to do it, but he was definitely one of the first ones to perfect it. When Jim Hughes won the world championship in Supercomp, however many years ago that was, with a double throttle stop, where he would come off the start line, whoop, and then take off. And he would also either not go all the way wide open, or he'd get down 600 feet or so and just kind of ease back. The car didn't drop, but it just would ease back. And so the guy in the other lane, right, take off. And you get down there about 800 feet, and you're like, whoop, pull up right on him. And then, okay, we just need to cut this guy in. And then his throttle opens up again. And it's like, holy crap, where'd that come from? And he won a world championship. And like I said, I'm not saying he was the first one to do it, but I think he was one of the first to, you know, kind of perfect the thing. Because time after time, a guy would go, I was on him at 1,000 feet. I want the throttle two times. And then he pulled out in front of me. Like, where'd that come from? Well, lesson learned. And, you know, when you get to put that into play, next week, or the next time you run in the gym, because you're done. And again, that's just the fun of it. You know, when you watch guys that are really good at it, and especially when they're going up against each other, there's so much strategy involved. It's just fun.
A sport of how did you lose this given week? Only one person gets to walk out at the end of the weekend having been victorious. It's great stuff.
Just because it just popped into my brain, I'm going like random bouncing around things. I got this light that's like hypnotizing. You mentioned Dom earlier. I don't know if you have it or not, but if you don't, I'm going to send it to you. There's actually an address if people would like to send him, you know, good wishes, get well cards, anything like that. I'll give it to you, and if you want to put it up on WFO at the end of this, because I've had a few people reach out to me and ask about that, and I've reached out. But there is an address where you can send a get well card if you want to send them a little something to help them out, if you want to do any of that. And a lot of fans have done that, and there have been a lot of them asking how to and where. So I'll send you the information, and then you can put it up on WFO.
Excellent. So
I just thought about that. So
you're deviating from the format, Alan. My goodness, the format that we have developed over the past 15 years, which is no format. There is no format. It is a meandering conversation. You never know what's going to happen next. So when we do part ways, though, send that to me, and then I'll put it up on the screen so everybody can connect with Dom. And that's one of the stories of the year. Just, the stories that, you know, it was a very tough situation. We did, Jeff, who is out there, created these trees. He made one for Dominic, and we were going to auction it off when things were looking really terrible. But when he recovered, we decided, you know what? Jeff sent it to him. And so it's in a kind of so kind of him to make it on behalf of the WFO universe. Now, that in no way is suggesting that people shouldn't send their own Christmas cards, gifts, or whatever for Dominic. But I'm just so thrilled seeing all these photos of Dom. Just, you know, obviously it's a very tough deal. I think about Daryl Gwynn all the time, and I think about Daryl in a very positive light, like what a great life Daryl has gone on to have and all the great things Daryl has done. And I look at Dominic and I see a highly motivated guy who is going to do many great things with the life that he has. And, you know, just thankful that I get to see his face and text him about gripes about the Yankees.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, there was, I think most of us at one point in time for a, you know, relatively extended part of time were, at least I'm just speaking for myself, concerned that we'd never get a chance to see him again.
Yes.
You know, and never get a chance to, you know, anything that, that you know, he wasn't going to pull through all this. But, you know, the determination and obviously, you know, the thoughts and the prayers and everything from the fans certainly helped. And listening to, you know, Bobby talk about it for so much when Dom was still going through his recovery, and then listening to what things that Dom has said since about, you know, how much that actually helped, you know, that literally people all over the world reaching out going, hey, we're thinking about you, we're pulling for you. We want, and, you know, knowing that, that he had this huge support group out there. And, you know, I mean, obviously if, you know, whether you believe in prayer or you don't, I can guarantee you that those boys right now are thinking there's no way we'd be here without all of the positive thoughts and all of the stuff from all of those fans and people just all over the world.
And even if, you know, prayer or positive energy or whatever, you know, whatever that is, like, even if it had nothing to do with the medical part of it, it sure has a lot to do with what happens now, because for the rest of his life, you know, and Bobby too, like everybody, that whole family, like they know that they have literally thousands of people that care about them, which has got to be just a very nice feeling, man, beloved people. But we knew that before. And it took a terrible situation to, you know, to bring it out, but great, great news seeing Dom, and I can't wait to put up the address. So some other news, Josh Hart, you know, I was excited to see Josh Hart make his first, you know, competitive, runs, of course. And the story of new Top Fuel drivers, guys moving up, and looks like Josh Hart is ready to do the deal, man. He has purchased an operation. He has sold his A Fuel operation. I can't think of too many people other than Justin Ashley who jumped into A Fuel with such great success as Josh Hart, winning the big go and just having great success. And now he's going Top Fuel Racing. They're going to run I think it's 10 to 12 race schedule, limited schedule at first, but based on what he has done, I'm excited to see what he can do in the future.
Yeah, I am as well. And, you know, that was always his plan. Justin Ashley the same way. You know, when he got into the A Fuel car, his plan always was to get some experience, get some laps, get comfortable, and then move up, take the next step. And that was always Josh's plan as well. You know, he runs a tremendously successful business down in Florida dealing with cars and resto.
Your audio just disappeared. You were going good, and it just disappeared. Stand by. Yeah, he's going to check it out. Yeah, we totally lost your audio. I'm going to kick you out, and you'll come back just like that. Did you hear that? Like somebody turned down the power generator. It was like, and now is a great time for me to tell you, go to WFOradio.com and get yourself a WFO Radio face covering. You know, those numbers are going up, and as much as the vaccine is out there and we're all excited for when our opportunity comes to take it, you're still going to have to wear masks and face coverings for a while as we, you know, are protecting each other along the way. So might as well be a WFO Radio face covering. And I was thinking about this the other day at my Garlitz Hall of Fame deal. I made one joke and it did not go over well. It was about sponsor logo face coverings, and it turned out to become true. And now everybody's got them and we'll continue to have them in the near term. But hopefully not next year. We'll be gone with that. And he's back. Are you
sorry about that? I guess I'm just not smart enough to work this thing, because I'm, you know, I use my phone to do these things, and I have it on do not disturb.
Yeah.
Except when somebody calls in, it shuts down this broadcast, or at least the audio part, and informs me that somebody's trying to call me. I thought do not disturb meant do not disturb. Apparently, I was mistaken, or
You know, if they're in your favorites list, at least on iPhone, to me, I try to not sweat it. I watch news on TV and everybody's having these issues and audio issues and getting kicked off the air. It's just part of life now. And I hope that the audience never rebuilds their expectations of like solid error-free broadcasts ever again, because it's just going to make it easier on us. Yes, folks, you will see some errors. It's called real reality. Deal with it. Enjoy it. Maybe, you know, it's quaint or cute or whatever, but yeah, there's going to be some little glitches. Big deal.
Just think that there should be a way to tell my phone, I'm doing this.
Yes.
Don't bother me with anything else for an hour, and then we can get back to, you know, whatever the real world is. But I don't know. It's probably the guys, my truck's over there getting new shoes today, so that's probably it. The guys are calling me, telling me my truck's back.
Nice. Nothing like that. That's a great feeling, getting, you know, brand new tires and cruising out.
Yeah, it wasn't a good feeling when the one came off of it, so yeah, it's going to be good.
Oh, really? Like a bad one? Like a blowout?
It was stupid. I mean, the tire shredded. I'm going 35 miles an hour and the tire shredded. But anyway, we're getting her fixed.
Yeah, for those of you out there who are Android geeks and you want to help Alan out, by all means, you get him at NHRA Reinhardt on Twitter. Because, you know, there's the Apple geeks and I say geek with like love, like people who know really care about it. Because I'm sure there's a way to do it. It's just, you know, knowing what the way is.
Or announcer at NHRA.com, and that works for anything. If you have a question, comment, anything you want to get to me, announcer at NHRA.com.
Or shout out. So back to Josh Hart. That's exciting because that's another car that's going to be at some races, and you know, like that's what we need more.
His plan always was to go Top Fuel racing, and you know, he was supposed to spend some laps in one of Bob Vandergriff's cars last year. I don't know this for a fact, so I'm not reporting it, but I believe that he bought one of the Bob Vandergriff cars. You know, Bob had basically two complete operations. I know last year, at least at one point, they were discussing that. And so I don't know that for sure, but that would be my guess. But he's it's something that he's very committed to. And he has shown, I mean, considering, you know, how young he is, the success he's had in business and the things, when he decides this is something I want to do, this is the mountain I want to conquer, this is something I want to accomplish, man, he goes all in and gets it done. So look forward to seeing him on the track. Always good to have another good car out there.
And he's also connected to Big Daddy, being from Ocala. They have a relationship, and I think about the Capco team and Richard Hogan and Garlitz and how they're close. And I also think about, you know, Big Daddy is still very active and involved. Like if you ever have a plan to go Top Fuel racing and your friend is Don Garlitz, you should do it ASAP so you can learn as much from him and have him be as involved as he wants to be with the operation, even if it's not at all, who knows, but Josh Hart has done some good things. It's going to be very exciting to see where they go. And, you know, just thinking about 2021, who's going to be involved in the Capco team. I don't know if we've spoken enough about their accomplishment in that now three in a row, won it by 193 points, missing a race. It was a truncated season, but still a season of dominance for Steve Torrence and the Capco team, even enduring a tragedy within the team. They were able to elevate and rise above and beat the best. To me, they're still trucking, and that's the story of 2021. Can someone knock these guys off?
Well, as of right now, there hasn't been anybody that, you know, really issued a solid challenge. You know, Doug Coletta, and I don't mean to take anything away from him, but, you know, had a one-race head start and won that one race. And the Capco boys just came roaring back. And, you know, you look at between Steve and Billy, they ran 10 races. Between them, they appeared in 10 finals. And what I think is the most impressive stat, and it was actually in my last National Dragster column about, you know, people that had a good year, even though 2020 obviously was a dumpster fire as far as years go.
Yes.
But in the 10 races that the Capco cars ran, only twice was there not at least one Capco car in the final. Twice they raced each other in the final. But only twice in 10 races was there not at least one Capco car in the final. And they just right now have got it going on. They've got good, fast race cars. You know, when they leave a little good fortune, they seem to get it. All except for that final round in Vegas for Steve after the championship was locked up. But, you know, cars are running well. Guys are all pulling in the same direction. And we've seen it. That kind of momentum feeds on itself. You know, when you've got a car that's running that well And, you know, whether it was, you know, one of Alan Johnson's teams from years past or John Forrest when he would get on a run like that, or that everybody just feels it and everybody kind of kicks the performance up a notch, because you don't want to be the guy, whether you're the guy who does the tires or the guy that does the heads or the guy that does the bottom end, you don't want to be the guy that makes the mistake. And everybody just kind of feeds off of that success. You want to keep it going. You want to, you know, everybody wants to win. But when you get into that groove, you don't want to be the reason that you let your team down. And that's when the guys get the mentality. And you've seen it so many times over the years, you know, okay, somebody makes a mistake. And everybody on the team's like, dude, snap out of it. Come on, get your head. We got to go. You know, we'll get them next week. We get. Whereas if a team is struggling and somebody makes a mistake, it's like, dude, seriously? You cost us the race. You're the one that ruined this for us. And it's just a complete different mentality. But you look at the guys on that team. I mean, how often have you walked past a Capco trailer and see the guys look like they're kind of down in the dumps and frowning? It?
Never. Never.
You know, they are always just very upbeat, very positive. And if a mistake is made, it's like, okay, put that away, get it behind us. Next week, let's go. And they get right back to it. And when you're winning and when you're on a streak, that's just the mentality. As opposed to when you're not getting it done and somebody makes a mistake, then everybody, oh, geez, well, this week it was Joe. Next week it's Alan. Last week it was – and it just – you just start piling on. You know, one of the great examples in – you know, team leaders do it in different ways. You know, there are guys that lead a team by walking around behind them with a whip.
Right.
Right. More, faster, come on, man. And there are guys that lead a team by dangling a carrot out there, right? Whether it's a big bonus program, whether it's whatever. And I'm not saying one's better than the other. There are guys that have been successful in both realms. But I remember the Winston team, 98 or 9, I guess, when they were just in a slump. I mean, it just wasn't going well. You know, one week it would smoke the tires, and the next week it would throw the rods, and the next week it'd bang the blower, and it was always something, right? It's like, well, he made a mistake, or he screwed up, or he didn't tighten this up, it was just always something. And they go to Seattle, and I don't remember exactly what, I think they like banged the blower and they lost on a hole shot or something. I mean, it's just like second round, here we go again. And they tow the thing back in the trailer, and everybody's kind of walking around like this. And Alan Johnson came back to the trailer, and he said, get the car in the trailer as fast as you can. Get this junk loaded up. We're having a team meeting. And everybody there went, that's it. We're fired. We're walking home. And they finally end up inside the trailer, close the doors. And the meeting was, and I'm paraphrasing here, but Alan said, we're not having any fun. That's the whole problem. We're not having any fun. He said, starting now, we need to turn the radio up. We need to get out there and start enjoying ourselves again. We need to have a beer at 5 o'clock. When you get all the shit in the trailer and then everybody has to, we're not having any fun. That's the problem. Everybody's pressing. Everybody's just, we need to get back to where we were. And they went to Brainerd and everything started clicking. And if I'm not mistaken, they went on and won the championship that year. But the whole thing is, you know, you just, when you get mentally where the Capco boys are now, right? It's like, we know we're going to win. We feel it. We know it. We've got proof. Look at our track record the last 3 years. We just need to keep doing what you're doing. And everybody has that positive attitude, and it just permeates through the entire team.
Have you ever been the guy who let the team down?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. And for the fans out there who haven't been in the situation, I don't know what your situation was. I think you told a story about being in like a softball championship or something. My deal was my buddy, Team Corso, the head engineer at the radio station. You know, he sold me his dragster and went and bought like a sports car. He wanted to go SCCA racing. He got in this race, spent a lot of money being in the race. And he invited me to be on the crew and, you know, gave me a job. And I was the fire bottle guy, and I, you know, but then the car stalled in the pit, and I my natural instinct was to help push the car out of the pit box, and I touched the car. Fire bottle guy's not supposed to touch the car, got him a penalty. And man, it was one of the worst feelings that I've ever felt in sports, in, you know, in competition. Like I ruined this for all of these guys. I just wanted to be helpful and I ruined it. And every one of those guys on every one of these teams, yeah, sure, it's fun, but they are risking feeling that way just by being involved. It's not like, hey, I'm on a team. Yeah, we won. If you accidentally make a mistake, then you risk this horrific, nightmarish feeling of having let this whole operation down. And that's tough. I don't think we think about that enough. Like the downside to being involved in this, you're putting yourself out there to compete for the love of it. But man, there's some tough times too.
Yeah. And, you know, and the thing about racing is you're going to lose more often than you win. You know, I mean, at any level, nobody wins more than 50% of the races. You know, now in drag racing, because you're doing rounds and not necessarily races, you know, the math works out a lot of times where you win more than 50% of the time when you go to the starting line. But I'm just talking about, you know, the guy that takes the trophy home. But the thing that was always was for me when I was doing stuff competitively, and I don't do it quite so much anymore, is I know that there are people out there that are more talented than I am, that are more skilled than I am, that are better than I am, whatever we're doing. Okay. Joe, if you and I are bowling, and if you're a better bowler than I am, and we go out and we both bowl a good game and you win, hey, congratulations. Nice job. Let me buy you a beer, whatever. And, you know, I'm going to work on my game. I'm going to, you know, maybe next time. But if we lose or if I lose because I suck, that really wears on me.
Yeah.
You know, if, and it came up, you know, bowling is something that comes up, has happened a few times. I mean, I'm not the world's greatest bowler. I was like a 175, a 180 average guy. And, you know, occasionally I'd throw a 210 or a 220 or, you know, something. My all-time high, I think, was 264. But, okay, I'm a 180 guy. And you know what? If I go out and we bowl okay or these guys are and okay, you know, we win, we lose, right? We're there, we're having fun, we're enjoying it. But if I have just one of those nights where I bowl, you know, 110 and we lose by 25 pins.
Oh, boy.
And I bowled 110. That just absolutely eats me up because I lost the game for the whole team. And of course, nobody sees it that way, right? Everybody, you know, you have your ups, you have your downs. And I certainly was never kicking a guy if he was 20 pins off of average. But that's just the way I felt. You know, if somebody's better than I am and they win, hey, congratulations. Like I said, you know, let me buy you a beer. We'll come back and we'll try it again next week. But when we would lose, when my team would lose because I was at subpar, that really bugged me. I just didn't want to be the guy that let the team down. And it's just, that's something I've had, I don't know, since I was a kid. I'm better now, but then, you know, you get old, you get mellow, you get nobody cares anymore. But yeah. That's something that used to really just rip me up. And softball was the same way. You know, I've played a lot of really competitive softball over the years. And I love being the guy, right? Two outs, guy on second base. All right, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I always drove him home, but if I got a hit, somebody caught it. If I made, you know, hit a good ball, somebody threw me out, I can live with all of that. If I pop the thing up to the catcher,
ouch,
then I just lost the game for the team in my mind. And that would really eat on me. And there was more than once over the years when I'd get, you know, the poor sport label or the whatever, because I was pissed. And then trying to explain, it's like, it's got nothing to do with you guys. I mean, congratulations on your win. I'm mad because I screwed up. And anyway, but the mentality, you know, when you get out there and you're winning and things are clicking along, it's really easy to brush that off. But when you're in a slump and you're losing and it's you that makes the mistake that one particular day, it's a whole lot tougher to put that
in. Well, exactly. And pressing and wanting and all of that. But you're not doing it as much because there's not too many, like, you know, 45 and older competition leagues for guys like us anymore. You know, the intense. Oh,
there's a few. I'm actually, most of the stuff I'm not doing because of my schedule. You know, when I quit, I quit softball because, you know, I was playing at one point, I was playing five nights a week and then we'd do tournaments mostly on the weekends. But when I quit doing that, it's because I started doing more and more of the racing stuff. And it was, you know, hey, you know, we're going to the, you know, XYZ tournament in Albuquerque next week, or, you know, we're going to the ABC tournament in El Paso next week. And it's like, no, I'm going to the race in Sonoma, or I'm going to the race in Kansas. And it just got to the point that I wasn't reliable, you know. And if you're going to play at that level, you need to play. It can't be the, yeah, you know, well, you know, I play about once a month, or, you know, I show up every 6 weeks or so, and boy, I'll be ready to go. And it just doesn't work that way. So that's what got me out of most of the softball stuff. But, you know, just the rest of the schedule and the other things get in the way.
There it is. Simple as that. All right. Let's talk funny car for a second. In that, you know, thinking about Matt Hagen and those guys are back. We know that Tommy Johnson Jr., I saw Ryan Elliott posting that, you know, new look. They're over there at Cruz Pedregon. I feel bad for Tommy. Just want everybody to know I did get one of Tommy Johnson's candles. And I don't know if it's time. There's enough time before the holidays. But, man, this thing is fantastic. He cut one of my, you know, Johnny Walker liquor bottles and made a candle out of it. It's fantastic. So I've now been able to see Tommy Johnson's talent and ability that extend well beyond driving. You know, he's like woodworking, he's making, he's doing, he's building. Guy's gonna end up with his own TV show, like doing household stuff. But I got one. It's great. You can see him on Etsy. That's the logo. It's not showing up great, but I'm bummed for Tommy and, you know, Jack, if like nothing comes together. But at the same time, I'm super excited for Cruz Pedregon. And I also am thinking about the year that was, like, Paul Lee really emerging on the scene. This guy's got a shot to win any race next year. Alexis DeJoria going through some tough times, but kind of sorting it out at the end. And Bob Tasca's got a championship caliber team. So even losing Tommy and Jack, if that were to happen, next year is going to be really competitive. And I didn't even mention Blake Alexander and the Jim Head team. They didn't even really get a chance to show what they had.
And then bring back the John Force cars.
And then,
so, yeah, you know, I think, you know, I think the sport is going to be overall, I think we're going to be fairly healthy. You know, there's always going to be some turnover, some guys coming and some guys leaving. And, you know, I hate it for Jack. I hate it for Tommy. I know that, you know, everybody over there at DSR, I'm sure, are doing everything they can to try to find some kind of funding, secure something to get one of them back or both of them back. It's just difficult right now. And especially because there's just so much uncertainty out there right now. So, you know, I spoke to Jack, I guess it's been a couple of weeks ago now, and he said, hey, he said, if you'd have told me when I was 25 that you're going to drive a funny car, you're going to win 35 national events, you're going to win a championship, I'd go, yeah, sure, right. And he said, but I got to do that. And, you know, do I want to keep doing it? Absolutely. Would I love for something? Absolutely. Am I still talking to people? We're still looking at things? Yes, we are. But if this is it for my funny car career, it's been a heck of a ride. And, you know, he's gotten so much more than he ever dreamed he would have as far as opportunity and as far as accomplishment. And he said, if that's the end of it, then okay, it's time to go on to, you know, whatever's next. You know, he's back. I assume everybody knows it's been, you know, pretty widely reported. He got his union card back and went back into the elevator business, which is what he did for a number of years, installing, fixing, servicing elevators. And has been working, you know, doing that because, you know, as much fun as it is driving a funny car and as much glamour as it is driving a funny car, it's also a job.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if he doesn't have that to rely on for income, he's still got a wife and a couple of kids at home that he's got to look after, and he's going to take care of business. So I'm sure that we'll still see both of them at the racetrack from time to time in some capacity. And hopefully we'll see one or both of them back behind the wheel. I'd love to see it sooner rather than later because it's just, you know, they're both good personalities. They're both very good drivers, and hopefully they'll both have another opportunity.
Absolutely. And great people, very positive energy. Great people have showed that they have it. Hey, listen, Tommy went down this road in the past where he had a ride. It was a great ride, lost the ride. Ride went away, did whatever he had to do, starting businesses, doing things, and got back in the seat. We just got to get further and further away from this, you know, pandemic debacle, get people feeling comfortable about going out and spending money and all of that. We already discussed that. And I think that those opportunities are going to come. I'm looking at the points for Pro Stock. Erica, her amazing.
Everybody's tied at zero.
They're all tied at zero. We spoke with Erica a couple of weeks ago. That interview is in our archive. But there's a couple of great stories on NHRA.com right now about our two, you know, big retirement all-stars. Jeg and Jason. Jason, the engine guy, Jeg, the natural. And Bo, of course, is not going to be there. But Bo announced it on WFO Radio, by the way. That was big. I was honored. But it was like, What? You guys are both retired? Okay, I'm retiring too. And he just dropped it on us. Again, exactly. Nobody is really confident that Bo is really retiring either. That's another thing. Whereas Jason, I feel pretty comfortable saying that I could tell that he was comfortable with his decision, but we're losing championships and wins and leadership and personality and star power. It's going to leave a void.
We're gaining Aaron Stanfield. We're gaining Kyle Koretsky. We're gaining TJ. We're gaining, now there's, you know, there's just new blood coming along. When Bob Glidden stopped, when Warren Johnson stopped, when the Dodge boys stopped, Pro Stock didn't stop. You know, there are new faces. There are new people that are coming along. I'm excited for it. I hate the fact that we're not going to see Jason and Jake and Bo out there, at least certainly not on a full-time basis, but I'm excited for it. And, you know, I think nature abhors a vacuum. You know, there's three really good opportunities out there. I don't know what KB is doing, but I'm sure they're still going to run that second car. I haven't heard an official announcement yet. Bo, most of the equipment, the truck and trailer, I believe, was Bo's, but most of the other equipment was still KB's. It was leased from them. So that leaves the door open for somebody to go, you know, I always wanted to try this, whether it's a top sportsman person, whether it's, you know, somebody that likes fast door cars, whether it's a comp eliminator guy that says, okay, so all I have to do now is step in. You know, this is a car that has proven it can win races. This is a car that's won a championship. And the opportunity is there. You know, we've talked about it for the last, whatever it's been now, 4 or 5 years, that the opportunity in Pro Stock to get in and be competitive simply by writing a check has never been as good as it is right now. Because you go back into, you know, the 90s, the early 2000s, and before that, if you didn't build your own horsepower and have some secrets that you kept from everybody else, you weren't going to win. It's as simple as that. You may sneak in a race win here or there. You certainly weren't going to be a championship contender. You had to have your own engine development to do that. And now, because horsepower is available, and we've seen it, that opens the door for some of the guys that are successful in business but don't want to go through, you know, just the whole thing. You look at, you know, when Mike Edwards, how many years that he ran, and right, was just kind of, you know, he was there. He was going down the track. He'd win a race every once in a while. But then when he got real competitive, it was a matter of building his own engine shop, buying the equipment, hiring the people, getting a building, building his own engine shop. Then he became a real powerhouse. Then he won the championship. And that's the way you used to have to do it. But right now, you know, you can call KB. You can call Richard Freeman. You can call Chris McGahey and say, I want to race Pro Stock at a competitive level. I have the funding. What do I need to do? And they will tell you, get a helmet, and I'll see you at the racetrack.
I love it. I love it. Maybe they'll do it in exchange for trade. I'll talk about them on the podcast. Wait, I already do. All right, Alan, you've been great today. We do have one final question. This will be the final question, and then we'll put it up. But since Mark put it up, and it's kind of detailed, he would like the cost of a funny car for an entire season. And I know it's an insane amount of money these teams are looking for in a way of sponsorship. But, you know, this guy, Mark, just wants to know, give him an idea what it costs to run a nitro funny car for an entire season. And this question is obviously multiple facets. Like, do you want to win the championship? Do you just want to show up? What do you want to do? So, you know, break that all down. But let's say you're going there to try to win races.
Well, and the answer to that is it depends on who you ask. You know, what Jim Dunn spends for a year is considerably less than what Don Schumacher spends on Matt Hagen's car. And I mean, probably 3 or 4 times. You know, if you want to be in a position like a Bob Tasca, a Paul Lee, a Tim Wilkerson, then I think you can get out there and you can be competitive, have a shot at winning races, have a car that's competitive and that's going to go out and, you know, everybody's going to know you're there for $1.5 million, $2 million a year. I think if you really want to go out and chase a championship at the level that DSR does, at the level that John Force does, that you've got to spend, you know, at least $3 million. And it goes up from there. And then part of that also depends on how many races we're going to run. And, you know, one of the real reasons that NHRA needed to get back on track last year was simply that reason. If your sponsor deal is for $100,000 a race, okay, that's $2.5 million, $2.4 million for the year. If you don't run 10 races, that's $1 million you have to give back
Right.
And that's why it was imperative for NHRA to get back on the racetrack, because the sponsors needed the exposure and the teams needed to have that income coming in. Even if they weren't running a full season, you still need to have that income coming in to make payroll. So, you know, the answer to that question is it depends. If you want to do it, you know, on a budget, you want to run 5-6 races a year, you know, I would have no idea what Bob Bodie spends on his program, but it's certainly not $4 million a year. He runs 4 or 5 races a year. He qualifies, if not every time, damn near every time. I mean, he is a good, solid car. He wins around here and around there. You know, he did win the race in Brainerd a couple of years ago. Is he a threat to go out and win 3 races in a row? Probably not. Is he a threat for the championship? Definitely not. He's not going to that many races. But he is going out there and he is driving a funny car. So it just, you know, there's so many different levels to do that. It just, you know, it's like, how much does a set of golf clubs cost?
Right. Depends on. That's exactly the analogy. Well, what do you want to do with these clubs?
The ones they rent down at, you know, knock the rocks around the desert course probably cost a little bit less than the ones that Phil Mickelson uses. Just guessing. And, you know, so it all depends really on what level that you want to play.
Excellent. Excellent. Great session. Thank you.
However, if you just want to get a taste of funny car, call Frank Hawley. He's got an alpha funny car.
Yes. And they were over in Bradenton last week, actually, Jeff Rend and those guys. And that would be just awesome. And just to drive a funny car at all, to have that body come down would be awesome. Alan, great job as usual. Really appreciate it. Don't forget to send me the address for Dominic. We'll put it up on the screen, if not this week, if not today, then tomorrow. And just been great. What a year it has been. Now, I was debating this, Alan. I feel like this is probably, I don't know, the last time we speak for 2020, or are we going to do next week and have that be the last one? What say you?
Let's do next week. If nothing else, we'll tell Christmas story.
All right. The 22nd will be the last WFO of the year, because I'm thinking about the holiday party later on this week. You will get a notification, but we'll do this next week and it'll be the final WFO of the year as we get.
I'll wear my Bah Humbug hat instead of my Camping World hat.
Excellent. I've got something Christmas themed as well. Very exciting. Alan, so awesome. Great job as usual. Really appreciate it. And the audience loves it. Lots of good questions. I feel positive about it.
Thanks, Joe. Always a pleasure. And announcer at NHRA.com. If you had a question or something you want to share with me, feel free. And thank you again, Joe. Here, wait.
Oh, here we go. Look at this, folks. This is what, let's see. Don't
thank you again, Joe, for my tripod.
Wow.
Studio light, camera stand, so that I now look so much more professional than I ever did.
There
I still sound like a schmuck, but I look so much more professional than I ever did.
There are some things you can't purchase on Amazon. Let's just put it that way. Thank you very much, Alan. Have a great day.
Thanks, Joe.
There he goes. Alan Reinhart with us here on WFO Radio. Yeah, look at that. His stuff is better than my stuff. What am I doing? No, you gotta upgrade. You gotta evolve. That's good stuff. All right, hang on the line, everybody. I know there's a lot of people that like, Alan's gone. I'm out of here. And I understand it. Believe me, I feel that way myself. But I need you to stick around for a few minutes. He's going to send me the information about Dominic, like places to send cards, etc. Now is when I always say, put your comments in the comments section, like the final comments on the show. But I want to tell you about a couple of things. For instance, WFO listener Josh, who called in on the Ignition show last night, because we're now allowing our Patreons to be the live studio audience for the Ignition podcast. And the Ignition podcast is pure fun. It is in our archive, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We post it on Twitter and we post it on Facebook. But he is running in a street stock race tonight on speed51.com. And he's going to be flying the WFO colors on the hood. Now, I've already shared the tweet and the paint scheme with Ron Capps, who will also be in the race to try to intimidate Ron Capps. So when he sees Josh with the WFO logo in the rearview mirror, he is overtaken by emotion of various kinds. And you can watch it all tonight on speed51.com. Why am I promoting speed51.com? Because, man, we got a WFO car in the race, baby. We got a WFO car in the race. And I'm going to be checking it out. And now Caps knows, man. You know, why is what's this going to happen? But I did tell Josh not to do anything that, you know, will cause rubbing. Rubbing is racing. I know. But that is kind of cool. Also, want to remind you, the interview with Snake, it is in the archive. And He was great. We did have like a little audio issue, but you'd never know it by the interview. He could just intuitively know what I was asking. And we talk a little bit about him and Big Daddy and just all the different things. Obviously, wife Lynn and the family and the Hot Wheels days and Snake and Mongoose and just so many cool things going. Talked about, you know, just what's on Snake's shirt there? Machine Products, Delta Machine Products. Him and TV Tommy, like, thinking they were going to get along and then they didn't. Just really great stuff. I had some people tell me that they really appreciated the interview. So you definitely want to check it out. And it is all, and this is when he drove a drag boats, said that was a big mistake because that led to this, but he survived. That is all in the archive. It's right here on our Facebook page. Check it out. And if you do want to get the book is easily purchased on snakeracing.com, snakeracinggear.com, or WFO Radio. We have an Amazon store that we set up. You just click on it and it'll go right in your cart and you can get the book. And is it too late to get it before the holidays? I don't know. You'll just have to check. But I think it is pretty smart. We got some other stuff in our Amazon store as well. You know, things that I think will be interesting. Like, where is that? Oh, man. John Jadoga's drag racing art book. With all the different watercolor art poster press kits he's done over the years, some for Snake in particular. That's up there. A lot of good stuff up there. So check it out. And we will, you know, that's what we think. I want WFOradio.com to be a one-stop shop for all kinds of things, including entertainment. All right, let's see what everyone's got to say before we, let me just mention the people who make it possible. These guys. Total Seal Piston Rings. Remember, go to the Hidden Horsepower group. Join the group. If you want to see Hartford and Lake Speed and Keith Jones talking ring seal, we're doing that tomorrow. It's going to be live midday. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, Sam Tech, Marvin Rodak. Rodak sending out all kinds of coffee, guys. Give him a call, 817-924-6821. And even the folks at Santacor helping out WFO Radio this year. And if you have a company that you'd like to see featured on WFOradio.com, email me, joe@wforadio.com. We're working out our partnerships for 2021 right now. So feel free to send an email. All right, let's see what people have got to say. This is my favorite part of the show. Has Alan Reinhart texted me? He has not texted me yet. Gotta make sure. All right, here's the deal. Derek says, do not disturb that there's a secondary setting for nobody favorites or certain people. On iPhone, Derek. This guy's got Android, which just throws everything in the mix. I did break my Apple Watch. I'm very disappointed. I've decided I'm going to try to go without Apple Watch. I'm going back to regular life. Let's see how it goes. What else? Mark suggests Bruno to fill the role of one of those things. So I'd love to see Bruno go full-time pro stock racing. That would be great. I think Bruno would have a shot to win. Like, that's the thing. Bruno's a champ. He definitely would have a shot to win. I would love to see that. Let's see. Spock 59. Can we get an interview with Richie Crampton about the accident involving Dom? No. I never say no. No. I am not going to do that to these guys. I'm not going to ask them and can do an interview about Richie after how he's recovering, about Richie, his talent building chassis, about Richie, what's going on in his life, about Richie being a drag racer and a super cool guy. Am I going to ask these guys to reflect on one of the worst moments of their lives? No. The answer is no. Sorry, Spock 59. The answer is no. I'm not going to do that. And I'm sure somebody wants to. I'm sure somebody wants to relive that moment with them. And I've had, you know, what I would call morbid curiosity. And I'm going to fight off the morbid curiosity and just say no and move forward. I don't know. Maybe it would be a very well-viewed show and I'd get big numbers. You know what? I'm going to do without the big numbers because I don't want to go there. Let's see. Really good show. Thank you, Facebook user. Thank you, guys. Facebook user, we love you. Max Mortimer. No, we need at least one WFO a week. We'll be back next week. Reinhart made the call. He likes it. It is kind of weird with Christmas being on Friday. I do plan a holiday party at some point. May never happen, as you know. Thanks for a great show. Nice break in the day. Keeping my kid in line with virtual school classes. You just got to hit him, Monica. No, that's a joke. See, that's an old school, politically incorrect joke from back in the day. Something my dad might have taught me, right? And here I am. Oh, I learned very recently that humor, my humor in particular, is not always appreciated. You know, sometimes I will make that joke that is across the line and it will not be received well. I'm learning that one. That was a great interview. I felt like a kid again. He's one of my favorites. Who, Snake? Yeah, but honestly, he couldn't hear on his end because of whatever. Craig Bourgeois had the same problem. Notice Alan Reinhardt didn't have the problem. And it's a mystery problem. Of course, it's the internet, and I'm thrilled that it works as well as it does always anyway. But, man, if Snake could have heard me, then we would have been able to go into a lot of different areas about a lot of great specifics, moments, things that happened. And I was armed with a lot. Sometimes you got to fall back, right? Realize things weren't going exactly right. We were having technical glitches, kept my questions as short as possible and understandable as is possible. And we got through it and people enjoyed it. But everybody said, oh, it was too short. We definitely left them wanting more. Get the book. It's all in the book. It's all in the book. Let's see. Monica, always enjoy listening to you and Alan get the 411 on miscellaneous stuff. Miscellaneous is the right word there because we do not have a format. One question that I had to ask myself, even though we have a virtual NASCAR racing, dirt track racing, is why anybody came up with a drag racing version of these virtual games. And I had the PlayStation 2 game. I hear everybody talk about the PlayStation 2 game. My opinion is seat time. Seat time. Like, you can have fun driving a road course or a dirt track or an oval car all by yourself. Drag racing can have fun all by yourself, but it's a feeling of acceleration. And those sims don't, in my opinion, having done some, don't really do acceleration so well. Maybe if you sat in the thing, but so how would you do it? And the answer is it becomes a crew chief game. And I remember many stories about people sitting in the lounge and playing PlayStation 2 drag racing, which I still have a copy, which I should sell because they're rare. But that's the reason. Drag racing just doesn't work as well with games because you don't have the whole left, right, up, down experience. Every track is, you know, relatively straight. They could do a lot of different stuff, like obviously Bandimere pulls everybody to the right because it's on the side of the mountain. You could do all of that, but it's just such, we can't even explain this sport to people who haven't seen it in person. It's a challenge to just explain the sport to people who haven't heard the cars. And so to make a game about it, I think is even more challenging. Norm, back to work. Yes, work with a V. Thanks for the shout out. No sweat. Good luck. You better win, right? No pressure. Better win or have a nice, competitive, solid finish where you don't cause anybody any trouble. Get Dillner and those guys to put to say WFLradio.com will be great. Scott Bell, great show. Always look forward to you and Alan on Tuesday. Always look forward to connecting with you guys. It's like extended friends and family out there. Foster, way to go, Joe. Stand on your values. This is not the toughest business in the world. There are tougher businesses, but there are times where I have to make decisions about stuff like that, whether to press people, invade people's privacy, ask and dig for something that I know will be candy to the audience out there. And very often I don't do it. And yeah, it's a detriment to me, but stand on your values, man. There are some things that I think should be respected and honored. Great answer. Thank you. Dujane. True, but don't be so hard on yourself. I'm not. It's all self-deprecating for the air. I'm good. I'm all good. You're talking about the audio with the snake. Mark, I'd like to see some interviews with old school racers from the past, all classes. Oh, that just what we've gone legends in the past, and I like it. The problem is the new technology, the older school you're talking, the harder it is to dial in with this new technology. Reinhardt, you know, even talks about having problems. But yes, I love the idea. And we're going to have all of January and February to do such things. So subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and remember our sponsors. Jerron, thanks, Joe, for always having great shows and for all I do for the sport. Thank you, Jerron. Thank you for what you do for the sport. And I'm sorry to hit you with that screenshot of the final round at Indy, but it came up. right? You brought it up. And I like to be prepared with stuff. Like somebody mentions the final round at Indy, boom, there it is. It's just one of those things. If somebody mentions TJ Zizzo, boom, there it is. If somebody mentions Jason Logan, boom, there it is. You know, I try to be prepared, but I'm running out of material now. I'm running out of space. This program only gives me limited space. Jim Norris, great show, especially the driving the strike and bag of tricks part. Well, that's my favorite. Speaking of which, there is a new Attention in the Pits out, a new Attention in the Pits about Casey Miles with his 1969 Z28 Camaro. But what's interesting about the car is that he brought it to the Gator Nationals on a flat open trailer that he parks the trailer and the car on the trailer in his garage here in South Florida. Casey Miles is a South Florida racer who goes to the U.S. Nationals just to try to qualify. He was running through the mufflers half the time. But the real connection is that Casey Miles has probably beaten me on the racetrack at least 10 times. And I've beaten him, you know, maybe 5 times. He definitely has the streak on me. Really excellent racer. Check it out. Attention in the Pits, NHRA's Facebook page. Watch the game word, Joe. Watch that game word, Joe. I don't know. I don't know what that means. Let's see. Android has the same secondary options for do not disturb. Type it all out and I'll forward it to Reinhardt and he'll delete it. Or send it to Alan at NHRA announcer, announcer@NHRA.com. Hey, Joe, any new of which team Larry Dixon might go to? Wow, Matt. So you're like the third person in the last 3 weeks that's mentioned Larry Dixon. Here's what I will say. I don't know anything other than Larry wants to come back from what I've heard. And that he's got all that, issue in the rearview mirror. And all that is good, smoothed out. And it's just about the right circumstance, operation, et cetera. You know that if Larry can find money, that there are several teams that would love to have Larry Dixon. Several. We just got to find money, which is particularly challenging right now, given the circumstances. But I am feeling very optimistic. Monica, sometimes you have to be mindful and respectful all the time, I think. Drawn laughing. Good. Glad you can take it that way, man. You made the final of the big go, brother. First race out. And speaking of Jerron, he was the star of Attention in the Pits, which many people out there are saying that was the good luck, positive energy infusion that powered him to the final round. A lot of people are saying that. I'm not saying that, but a lot of people are reaching out to me. People are saying it all over the net that Jerron made the final round because the people had Attention in the Pits. It was just a big positive energy thing. I believe it was his own skill and ability. That's me. Jim Norris, the Attention in the Pits with Casey was awesome. Yeah, I think it was good. Not sure why it says Facebook user, but it's Fat Tire Josh. Yeah, it's just something. But we got Jerron on there now, which used to not always happen. It's okay. I'd like to come back on one day and give a little perspective from the sportsman racer's point of view and just talk the state of drag racing. Jerron, you're a friend of the show, man. You're welcome to come on. And it's a simulation, not a game. It's not a game. It's a simulation. It's practice. Talking about racing games. And just like that, we have reached the end of another WFO Radio NHRA podcast. Hey, everybody, if you're out there over the holidays, we're going to do next Tuesday is going to be the final show. Reinhardt just twisted my arm. We will have some shows later on this week. Got a couple things we want to get in there. Maybe a holiday party. How to keep up with whenever there's going to be a new WFO Radio? Well, Facebook, like and follow our page. Twitter, follow us. We're on Instagram, WFO Joe and WFO Radio. We have a mobile application with push notifications. WFOradio.com, Apple Podcast, Spotify. And for the people who are super into this show, like if you really love what we're doing and you want to be part of that VIP experience behind the scenes, getting invited to the recording sessions of the Ignition Show, Patreon, patreon.com/WFOradio. These people kicking in as little as $5 a month and they become VIP super listeners and get invited to all the great stuff. So check us out there on Patreon. And honestly, I got a comment in the New National Dragster reflecting on 2020 and my top stories and my top thoughts. seeing the vaccines go out, not really making a big deal about it because everybody else is, and you don't need me to piggyback on them. But it's a triumph of humanity that we can go from troubled situation in February to vaccines being distributed to healthcare workers in December, and it's all going down. To me, it's something we should be celebrating, maybe like Man on the Moon, or I think about Jonas Salk. I think about the polio. Like, why don't I have to worry about polio? Why don't I have to worry about that? The answer is because they created a vaccine. The human race, it's pretty amazing. Talk about racing, the human race, pretty amazing. All right, everybody, have yourself a great day. WFO. See you next time, right here on WFO Radio. WFO!
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.
I love WFO Radio.